Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Yankees rally and beat the Red Sox last night. Here's John Sterling.
And the right-hander deals.
Swung on, driven to deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Let the Gardy party begin. Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seats. It is a grand salami. And the Yankees, down 3-1, now take a 5-3 lead.
And that was the final last night at Yankee Stadium. As Brett Gardner off, I think it was Ryan Brazier, he hit the home run off of. Took a 3-1 deficit and turned into a 5-3 lead and a 5-3 win. All right, with that, and we now will bring in Nate Bauer. Nate, welcome. Great to have you with us. Fresh off the golf course, I'm sure.
I am glad to be here to talk about the Mueller report.
Fabulous. I would like to point out that at no point did I think that you colluded in any way with Ryan Snyder.
Well, you thought wrong, Steve. I did. I did it.
All right. Now, when it comes to obstruction of justice, I always feel like you're on that path, just so you know.
No doubt about it.
On everything you do.
I intend to obstruct my way to the golf course this very afternoon.
Well done. Okay. It comes out, I felt that with the transfer portal when it started on October 15th, I said on the show a couple times, I expect the primary times that it will really come into play will be late December, early January, late April, early May after spring games, maybe in mid-August, and probably after the fourth game of the regular season. Those are the times that I've looked at. So now here it is, late April, early May, and suddenly out of nowhere, Tommy Stevens has put his name into the transfer portal. What was your reaction and what sourcing do you have on it?
So he put his name in, of which I was able to confirm. And frankly, it caught me by surprise, not necessarily that it was happening, but more so actually the timing specific to him. I thought that there were some intimations made during the pre-bowl, post-bowl, whether it was social media or some of the comments of his teammates. If you're reading between the lines, you knew that this was a possibility. Distant as it may have appeared at the time, this was something that, you know, it existed. There was a chance for this to happen. But that said, you know, if Tommy knew and his family understood through their doctors and the medical situations that were happening to him throughout last season and coming off of the bowl and in through winter workouts, if they understood that at best he was going to be limited in spring practice, I guess what I don't understand, what doesn't really quite add up to me, is wouldn't you have that conversation with James Franklin before spring practice? Wouldn't that conversation happen in January, saying, listen, if I can't go, I need to know whether or not I'm going to be the starter or given an advantage or put in a prime position to win that job? You know, because even if he wasn't told exactly what he wanted to hear, at least in January, you put yourself in a position to make that decision and find an alternate suitable spot for Now that spring practice has passed, I'm not sure exactly where that puts him. Listen, no doubting that, of course, there will be other teams and programs that will pursue him now. He is an attractive candidate. That said, he's also a guy who has an injury situation right now and previously through the past, well, I mean, what are we talking here, 12 months? You know, maybe a little bit more, that should give cause for concern or give rise for, you know, some pause, frankly, for anybody who's going to get involved with him at this point.
There's no question he'll be an attractive name in there, and he'll have some conversations. But just because he's in it, as we discovered with Lamont Wade and Cam Sullivan Brown, doesn't mean he's gone. But also, but being a quarterback makes him a highly attractive candidate.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And I have tried over the last 24 hours to get some type of feedback as to whether or not this is, you know, some guys who left or put their name in the transfer portal never had any intention of leaving the door open to coming back.
Right.
I don't have a sense, just to be perfectly blunt. I don't have a sense whether or not that's true here. You know, it would seem to me to put everybody in a challenging spot now that this is out there. I'm not convinced that he wanted this to be out there, but, you know, the way that things work now, you know, with the transfer portal, everybody can see it.
Right.
You know, everybody within those realms can see it. And so, you know, it creates a definite, you know, everybody's, I guess, kind of scrambling to figure out what's next. I mean, obviously, you would assume that he's going to take some visits and see what's out there and go through the same pursuit that, frankly, happened 2 years ago or a year ago at this time, but a little bit more than a year, right? 16 months.
Yeah.
You know, and where this goes from there, your guess is as good as mine. But certainly, it would appear to leave Sean Clifford in a pretty commanding spot to be Penn State's starting quarterback next season.
I mean, let's take it back to December. The reason that they said, hey, look, don't worry about the bowl game, was they were trying to give him, obviously, the best chance to compete. But they also said when it happened that, look, he was going to be limited anyway. This put him in a tough position to begin with, the injury, because I think it's very difficult for any football coach to sit there when somebody's been limited in the spring to say, oh, he's our starter, right? When there's no incumbent. I mean, that to me is the difficult part, where for James Franklin, where you're going to hand him the job, you know, even though you and I both know that James Franklin was literally, and could still literally, if Tommy comes back, give him every possible opportunity to win it.
Exactly. And so that's to me, if I'm taking a shot in the dark, this reads to me as a lack of faith on maybe not reciprocally, but Tommy Stevens, James Franklin has never said anything but the greatest things about him.
Exactly.
His decision in the first place. I thought, and I don't know if I mentioned it the other day, but I thought that the Garrett Taylor comparison that James Franklin made in his post Blue White Game press conference was very purposeful.
Yes.
Because he talked about Garrett Taylor as not having secured a spot, because James Franklin doesn't guarantee spots to anyone, right? Like, I mean, even the most obvious next guy in line still has to win that position. And so when James Franklin brought up Garrett Taylor and said, you know, he's in a similar spot to Tommy, or Tommy's in a similar spot to Garrett Taylor, well, Garrett Taylor is the presumed starter at
right.
safety. You know, he is a guy who is going to play, and we know that. And so you know, if that wasn't enough for Tommy, and listen, I mean, I have respect or understand where all sides are coming here. Tommy Stevens does not have the luxury, with only 1 year of eligibility remaining, to be uncertain or feel uncertain in any capacity.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you would think that, oh, and this works both ways, you would think yeah. that he would have had, through the 4 years that he's been at Penn State, more than 4 years now, you would think that that level of trust had been developed to the point to feel like he was going to get every opportunity, every advantage to do that, to win that job that he so covets. And on the flip side, if you're Tommy Stevens, you probably feel the same way, right? That what else does he need to do? Whether or not you see him playing spring ball or not, they still have a database of 3 years of him playing to work with, right? So it's not as though Penn State's coaching staff is going to go into preseason practice and in some way be surprised by the product that Tommy Stevens puts on the field. He can either do it or he can't, and I think that they know that. It's just a matter of making assurances right now. I don't think that they could do that either.
Well, I mean, and the other issue comes into play. Timing always means something in everything.
Yeah.
And the timing for Tommy Stevens is that he had the foot injury. It knocked him out of spring practice last year. Flared up again. Eventually needed surgery again. Didn't miss all of spring practice, but missed all the heavy contact of spring practice. And it's his fifth year.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, now he's there's that line where it's like either get it done or I don't get it done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, that I think timing means everything in this. It's not James Franklin, it's not Penn State football, it's just the timing of the whole thing.
I totally agree, and I would say two things. I have not seen Tommy Stevens make, I mean, at this point, like literally right now as we speak, Tommy Stevens has yet to make a public comment about this.
Exactly.
So it's not as though, you know, he lit the couch on fire behind him on the way out the door.
Right.
Like that's not what we're talking about right now. But what we are talking about is, and I'm not speaking for him. I mean, he's said it himself. The thing about state of mind,
right?
He's already in a bad place. Injuries are frustrating, especially to actual athletes. You know, these guys have known nothing but being the best at what they do.
Right.
And so when that is taken away from you over something that to them probably seems fairly silly, you know, if you break a bone. Or if you tear an ACL, obviously, that comes with a set timeline.
Just well, so you know, now we're getting to the personal area for Nate. So if everybody could just, you know, bear with us.
I was struggling. I was really trying to come up with another example other than an ACL, but it's just so prevalent, right?
All right.
No, but this foot thing, it has taken on a life of its own. And so I'm sure that has led to extreme frustration that he feels like. I mean, honestly, I sat down with him for an interview before spring practice, and he told me point blank he was ready to play. He was going to be out there. He was, you know, and so regardless of what the doctors said, he was going to be playing. Ricky Rane said it after the game on Saturday. He said there were times where we had to say whoa and hold him back because he was so gung ho about getting in there.
No, I saw that, and I had the same conversation with him. He told me, he said, "Look, I can play."
Yeah.
And they were trying to be smart about it, like because there's no game at the end of spring practice.
Right. Exactly. But at the same time, when you feel like you're losing your step up in a competition, you're losing your advantage, and you know that the clock is ticking and that this is your last shot. I mean, look, again, this comes to no surprise to anybody. The goal is not just to win games at Penn State. The goal is to play in the NFL.
Yes, of course it is.
And play in the NFL as a quarterback. Like that is what every single one of those guys in that locker room are here for. They are here, yes, to win games at Penn State, but also to put themselves in position to play in the NFL. And if Tommy Stevens does not have that opportunity to show what he can do as a quarterback, he's so far behind the eight ball in his life's goals. You know, so I think panic might be the word that ultimately I kind of use to sum all of this up. Is this is this moment currently is panic. That doesn't mean that cooler heads can't prevail,
right,
or that cooler heads can't ultimately win out. And when I say that, I mean there's no insight there. Maybe this is the cooler head decision. Maybe he understands. You know, I'm not privy to those conversations with James Franklin.
And plus, you don't know what kind of outside advice he's getting. I mean,
that's
the other part that people don't realize. I mean, it's one thing for the young man to make the decision. Is there an influence out there that's saying, okay, you know, at least put your name, find out what's out there, so forth. He may conclude, you know what, no matter what, yeah, maybe I can start here, you know, I'll get all sorts of, because you're being recruited, they'll tell you anything now, that, you know what, I'll just go back to Penn State and I can win the darn thing myself. I mean, he can still do that. That's not out of the realm of possibility, but I know that Jack Ham talked to him on Saturday, and Tommy was very comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah, and I
based on what Jack told me, you know.
Yeah, but what's so curious to me is, having gone through this before, and maybe the situation is duplicating itself, I just doubt it. James Franklin talked about when Tommy initially made that decision to come back last spring. James Franklin said, "Look, we knew that Tommy had to do this. He had to look around. He had to see what was a good fit for him or not a good fit. And we were going to be supportive if the better fit existed somewhere else."
Right.
Right? The question that I have now is, I don't see how James Franklin can possibly advise him for anything other than coming back to Penn State. You know what I mean? Like, what situation could possibly exist where Tommy Stevens would have a more advantageous position going into preseason camp than where he is at Penn State?
I just don't see it. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. He knows the personnel. He knows what is expected. He knows the terminology. It's not like you can't be learned anywhere else. But believe me, you know, there are a lot of pluses to him staying. But at the same time, you know, as a young man, he has to feel comfortable with whatever decision he makes. And if he decides to stay, great. If he decides to leave, you want to wish him nothing but the best.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
As simple as that. And again, if obviously I haven't talked to James Franklin about any of this at all, but if, for example, he says, you're going to go out there and you're going to compete and the whole deal, well, yeah, it's like Mike Moran and C.J. Thorpe are competing. You know, Garrett Taylor is, you know, you talk about the Garrett Taylor comparison. Garrett Taylor, of course, already had won his job a year ago. Doesn't mean he has to go out, but he also has to go out and re-win it. They all do.
Yep. No, this to a certain extent, this reminds me, or it, Penn State, right? So this is separate. There are people who work in places, right, that have to interview for their own job.
It happens all the time.
Happens all the time in corporate America, bureaucracy, what have you. When you're working in those large structures, there are oftentimes people who have to interview to keep their job.
Yeah.
And you can understand how frustrating that must be.
Oh, right? I'll give you an example. It's an adjunct position, teaching job at Penn State. I got informed at the Fiesta Bowl a year ago that I had to reapply for the job. I said, I've been doing this job for 15 years. Wait, I got to reapply for it? So I'm sitting in my hotel room at the Fiesta Bowl, filling out a form I'd never seen in my life.
Yep. I'll tell you what, Steve. It is hard to put ego away. It is hard to understand or take into account that maybe that's just what everybody has to do, you know,
right.
That's just the way it goes. That's just the way the program is structured in this case relating it to Tommy Stevens. It's just the way, you know, frankly, let's think about this. James Franklin very well, after the Tax Slayer Bowl, could have said, Trace McSorley is our starter next year.
Right.
He didn't.
Right.
He didn't. And he made him battle through preseason camp, Tommy Stephens. Tommy Stephens has been on the other side of this.
Yes.
You know, and so you would hope, I guess, from the outside that he would be able to maybe manage without being offended by it. This is just the way it is.
I just think the fifth year thing enters into it. Like, in other words, I think you're just looking around saying, okay, this is my last shot.
Yep.
Okay, where am I guaranteed to get the shot?
Yep.
You know? And yep. You know, if he were a fourth year player with a year remaining, I think you would see him do what I just talked about. In other words, I talked about the four times of the year where you can think about doing this.
Yep.
Well, maybe he would have gone through the first couple of weeks of August and realized what the deal is and could have put his name in then.
Yep.
But as a fifth-year player, he might be wondering if that is even a possibility. So, but exactly what was James Franklin supposed to do? James Franklin, that's not okay. No coach sits there and says, when the position was open, and you got to talk, okay?
Yeah.
And, well.
No, James said exactly what he was supposed to
right,
say.
Right, exactly.
And he said exactly what he was supposed to say.
Look, it's also exactly what anybody else who is in a responsible leadership position, right?
Yeah. Think about it this way, Steve. What are the ramifications to James Franklin, as painful as this might be, to have this being playing out publicly, for first of all,
right?
But also with a guy who you've stuck by and you've supported and you've been effusive with your praise about. What would the ramifications be to, and I'm just being blunt here, virtually be held hostage, right, to demands or threats or intimidation made from a student athlete's parent in the press? You know, what would happen to the rest of the locker room if that was the example that was set in this specific instance?
Right.
You know, look, you've been around this longer than I have. I've been around it longer than I care to admit. This happens every single offseason. Every single offseason, and every single player has a parent. Every single player themselves is fighting for more. they want to be the guy.
Sure, of course they do.
And so you're constantly put in these situations, unless you hold steady and unless you set an example that, you know, you can get people to understand on a program-wide basis why you believe this and why this is the way that you do this, it's going to be tough sledding.
All I know is that I was in line checking out at Lowe's this morning before I came over, and somebody said, oh, what do you think of the Stevens situation? Now, this is how it's been going the last couple of weeks. My first thought was, and I caught myself, that it was Lamar. I thought, no, wait, they're talking about Tommy, aren't they? It's like, okay, so we got to keep all our Stevens straight here as to what's going on. All right?
It, you know what? And the future of programs rest in the balance. It's fascinating. It's just the text that I got that was so interesting to me. You know, obviously, I have friends of mine in my personal circle who root for Penn State and who are big Penn State fans.
Yeah, mine are known as acquaintances, but that's all right.
Well, you know, I mean, look, this guy sent me a text whenever it was, yesterday or the day before, and was just like, I hate the way that college football is going. You know, and he's a level-headed guy, and I was just like, look, like, I understand where you're coming from as the fan to be frustrated, and trust me, at Blue White Illustrated today, everybody is, oh, well, we didn't need him anyway, Sean Clifford. That's fine, but I'm just asking everyone to take everybody's perspective into account here, because ultimately it's a lot of gray.
And look, I'm going to go back to what I've said since I think on Monday. Let's just see how everything plays out. Well, this is one of the steps in playing out. Now let's just see how it plays out. It's very easy to jump to conclusions. It's very easy to jump. And, of course, you can sit there and you can use certain sentences along the way that are going to draw a couple of extra listeners, and that's not how we do things. So.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, go out today on your wounded knee. All right. And shoot another 75.
Yeah.
Okay. While I feeling completely healthy, would struggle to break 80.
I'll text you from the course. I'll give you some hole by hole updates. All right.
Yeah. Thanks. Do you want us to play the Masters theme for you right now on the piano?
Honestly, it wouldn't be wrong. It would be fine. I would feel appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. All I know is that if I'm playing the Masters, I need scuba gear at Ray's Creek. All right.
Play it safe, Steve. Always to the middle of the green, Art.
Yeah. No offense, but that is actually due. I don't have that kind of game shoots for the pin. The center of the green is actually a good place for me to be. Ah.
Oh, bliss.
An incredible spring day in Augusta, Georgia. Let's go to Golden Bell, number 12, the par 3 158-yard hole, and Nate Bauer on the tee.
8-iron, Steve.
Wow, aren't you a powerful dude?
you got to hold the green. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of room there.
Hey, I know a friend of mine that, I know we have to go to a break here, but I know a friend of mine that for years he's worked in turf management, and they would bring guys down to Augusta because the superintendent's a Penn Stater at Augusta National. And so he'd say, hey, I need you to work on holes 7 and 8. So he's got the par 4 and he's got the par 5. And you know what they do as a thank you to them? They let them play the course after the tournament.
I know.
Oh.
I'm waiting for the call, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I can run a lawnmower. Okay. I mean, just so you know, I can cut grass. All right. Nate, thanks. Enjoy it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, there's a good chance it's been a pretty interesting show today. I'm going to take a quick trip. We'll get back to Tommy Stevens in a moment. I'm going to take a quick trip to women's basketball. Carolyn Keeger is the new head coach of the Lady Lion basketball team. It's her first appearance on the show. We've had her on, obviously, in the Thursday night show, but the first appearance on this show. Carolyn, how have you been? Oh, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay. I want to get to, first of all, you caught the punt. So let's start with that. I mean,
I had to. Couldn't live that one down.
You did it. I got to give you credit. I know some in the past have not. I'm trying to think who that might be in practice. All right. That might be me. Okay.
Well, I tried to pass it off to Coach Franklin, but he wasn't having that, so he made me run the whole way. So.
I can tell you right now, he was not going to take that up on you. No. He's in charge on that one. What was it like, the entire experience on Saturday for you? Because you probably have not experienced something like that yet.
No, it was phenomenal. You know, the boardwalk was amazing. You know, the fans, everyone's so welcoming. I love the team arrival. That was pretty special. Probably my favorite part of the day, no doubt. And then being on the field and just seeing the energetic crowd for a scrimmage blew my mind. So I can't wait to see a regular season game and get the full energy, the full experience.
How important in the – now, look, you want to give everybody an experience, but in the recruiting part of it, how important a part will a football Saturday be in your recruiting plan?
Well, I think it's going to be vital. I mean, it's when, you know, Penn State athletics is at its best and everybody's all geared up and excited. The fans are out and about. I think we'll use that to our full advantage, no doubt, and, you know, also add our element to it with our tailgate and our practices and just give the whole family atmosphere feel.
Let's get to the staff now. Give us the importance of familiarity with the people that you've hired so far for your staff and what that means moving forward.
So I think it's huge. I mean, Jay Boggs is coming with me, recruiting coordinator, someone that's been with me for 5 years now, and she's one of the best, if not the best in the business for the recruiting coordinator side. So really excited to work alongside her, and that's a big key component for us is getting players that our vision, that have, you know, that competitive mindset with high character. And I know Coach Bogus and I align very well with that. And I know the community is going to fall in love with her, the players. I just think it's a perfect fit. And then our director of operations, Pam Brown, comes with us with lots of experience in the Division I game in terms of assistant coach and for ops for us over at Marquette. So just her organization and knowing how I like things, knowing how to handle the team, and it'll be a smooth transition. And then Mary Lynn Schaefer coming over with program development is really going to be taking care of our student athletes and making sure that transition is smooth and everything is running on full cylinders. So I couldn't be more thankful to have them with me, and I think it's a great start to our staff, and we'll keep adding pieces as we go.
It's not just them saying, knowing you and what you know you need, what you want, what you expect. But what does it mean to you that you know who you're working with and you know how to work with them?
Well, I think it's really important, and I think that's what was a big part of our success at Marquette is we stayed together as a staff for 5 years, and that consistency is huge. And that's my hope here at Penn State, that we can build something special together and we can keep learning and growing. And, you know, the fans, the community, everybody gets to know us, and it's familiar, and it really is truly a family feel. So for me, I'm ecstatic. They're very talented. I'm very comfortable with how they work, what they're about, and why they're in this business. And I think, or I don't think, I know they're going to love Penn State, and they're all very much excited and wanting to be on that elite stage.
We're in an interesting time in intercollegiate athletics. Now, basketball has been like this for a few years, where sometimes you're going to get anywhere from 500 to 700 players out there saying they want to transfer. I've always referred to April as, quote, the waiver wire in when it comes to college basketball. Well, football fans got a dose of that really for the first time in mass this year. Have you had to re-recruit your current team, and have you had to re-recruit the recruits who signed in back in November?
Absolutely. That's a big piece to what we're doing right now, is making sure that our 2019 signees feel good about our vision, feel good about who we are as coaches, who we are as people, and then just getting to know our current players as much as we can. And I think that's the hardest thing when you come in, is there's so much going on, but you want to make sure that you don't forget about the most important piece, and that's your players. So being able to be in the gym with them this week has been great. Loved working out with them. They did a phenomenal job working hard. Their energy was through the roof. So for us, we're just going to keep building on those relationships, and you know, from there comes leadership, and we just keep building. So it all starts with relationships, though, and I know we're going to work hard at that and get to know them.
And I also know, and this is something I brought up last Thursday when we were down at Permane's together, I brought up the fact that your players can become your best recruiters. So give me the importance for you of obviously identifying people right away that you can tell are aligned with you as to how you want to do this, and how important they can be in your recruiting process, player to player, peer to peer.
Well, I think it all starts with energy. You know, when you walk into a building and you see a team and you see a staff that is pumped up, that's fired up, that is all juiced up for Penn State and for the future, it immediately is contagious. And I think that's something that you're really going to find with my staff and my team, is we're going to love what we do. We're going to love Penn State. And you're going to feel it every time you walk into the gym, every time you walk into an office, anytime you see us at another sporting event, you're going to feel that energy and you're going to want to be a part of it.
All right. Now, the scheduling part. I mean, there's 1,000 things to do. How much of the schedule was in place before you got here? And are there gaps that you have to fill to get yourself into the 1920 season?
Yeah, pretty much it was done when I got here. There's a few things we need to tighten up at the end here, but won't really have much of a say this year. But moving forward, and next schedule is when we'll kind of start working on our pieces and who we want to play and kind of put that puzzle together.
All right, how important, when you put a schedule together, give me the importance of what net RPI is to you as to how to balance out a schedule versus obviously a conference schedule is going to bring with it obviously plenty of strength of schedule to it.
Yeah, I've always been a big believer in playing the best. And for me, you know, when I first got hired at Marquette, I went down to the NCAA headquarters and did a mock selection committee to figure out RPI and to learn it really at a high level. So when I'm scheduling, I can have that goal in mind, because at the end of the day, you don't just want to set yourself up for the NCAA tournament. You want to set yourself up for a deep run. So I think that's going to be a huge key in figuring out, you know, who we play, where we play them, what year we play them, what they have returning, what we have returning, and it is a puzzle, and I think it's a really important one to getting your team to that next level.
Yeah, it's interesting because my broadcast partner on basketball, Dick Girardi, has gone through, when he was with the Philadelphia Daily News, the mock selection to see how it worked, and it's not quite as simplistic as everybody believes it to be. So as a coach, it had to give you great insight as to, okay, what are the different pathways? So they're not all the same, but what are the different pathways to get where you want to go?
Yeah, and I think a couple people, you know, when I started at Marquette, probably thought I overscheduled, probably thought we scheduled too hard. But for me, I stuck to my vision and where we wanted to go, and I think it really paid off. I think 1 year we were 6-0 versus top 25 teams, and you know, end up getting the best seed we've had at Marquette. And it's all about, you know, playing teams that, one, you know, their RPI is going to be good, that you can compete against. And at some point, you're going to have to take some risks as a program, because at the end of the day, you have to beat the best to be the best. So that's going to be our philosophy.
Back to staff again, but this deals with it in a different way. Whenever you take a new job, you're going to also face a series of schools, programs, that maybe you face once in a great while or maybe not at all when you were at Marquette. How do you approach the learning curve? You know, because when you went from Miami of Florida back to Marquette, you had to do this. So what's the learning curve, and how do you approach a schedule, especially it's going to be loaded with probably a lot of teams you have not seen, at least in the last year?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you start scouting or when you start going into games, I mean, X's and O's and hoops are the same. So, you know, whether you're playing a top 25 opponent or whether, you know, you're playing a mid-major, you know, you got to treat everybody like they're the best team in the country. So for us, you know, I'm very familiar with the Big Ten, very familiar with some of the people that are on our current schedule this coming year. So I don't think the learning curve will be too big there. I mean, how we're going to prepare for every team is going to be the same, and that's going to be like it's a national championship game.
In reality, it's more about you than them, correct?
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Carolyn, absolute pleasure. Thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it. Everybody is. I have been stopped so many places in the last week that have asked me about you. So that tells me about the impact you're already having. I was at lunch today. I had two people come up to me today just when I was in line to pick something up that wanted to ask about you. So already the impact is there.
That's awesome, and I'm so excited to meet everyone in the community and get, you know, the Bryce Short Jordan Center rocking and get everybody fired up. So thanks so much for having me on the show, Steve.
You will. Thanks so much, Carolyn. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
Carolyn Keeger, head basketball coach of the Lady Lion basketball team. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Now, tomorrow is going to be a Good Friday. It's kind of a play on words there, Sean.
That's right.
I revise a Good Friday in sales. Oh, goodness.
Hey, maybe a half a day for him tomorrow. Not sure.
When's the last time he worked a full day? Come on.
I didn't see much of him today. We crossed paths in the hall this morning with coffee, and we were both complaining about the Steelers schedule. Not really a fan of New England out of the gate, and especially in November, having to play Cleveland two times in about, what, a 17-day span? Not really a fan of that either. So,
well, man up and deal with it.
Yeah, it's all you can do. Schedule's a schedule, you know?
Hey, who knows? It could work in such a way where you're hot at that point, playing your best football. You play him twice in 17 days, beat him. Hey, but again, negative Nellies such as you don't think that way. He has poisoned you.
Yeah, especially for this year.
Just so you know, I mean, I think he's finally gotten to you. I think he's won.
Wow. And there's a, not fighting words, but that's a wake-up call. What was I thinking?
I'm trying to jolt you back to reality. You cannot.
Somebody's got to do it.
You cannot warp yourself into the dark world. I mean, now that I've been traded to another team, I want to know what group you're going to follow.
Well, we'll be in the golf cart. We'll be going back and forth. I'm going to keep tabs on both teams. I want both teams to be great on May 8th.
Is there a team that you hope is a little bit better?
I want both teams to be great on the 8th. I want both teams up at the top of the leaderboard.
Should I repeat the question? I mean, what's your loyalty to these people? You and I share 10 hours a week on the air.
Yeah.
And you're going to root for
Team Purdy.
The guy that tries to burn down the bridge
over
the River
Kwai. News, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.